from JMI Wealth as we get the week underway. Andrew Kelleher, good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
So we've got some economic data, got the dwelling consents, which look pretty good, and we've got employment confidence, which looks good as well.
Yeah, so it's all been, we've all been talking lately about that lower GDP number in the first quarter and, you know, the fact that business confidence isn't that great, but they're not the only things that are going on. So here's a couple of other bits of data. Dwelling consents, undeniably strong. So a good sign here for pipeline activity in the residential sector, particularly in Auckland, Mike. So what were the numbers? Residential building consent data, seasonally adjusted, rose 7.1% in May, which is quite a good number. That's from April. April actually fell, though, compared to a month earlier, so it was sort of a bounce back from that fall in April. But 3,407 new residential building consents in May. That is the highest monthly total since June 2004. So it's been 14 years since we consented this many homes in 1 month. If we look at the year, we're up 6.5% on the year. So the trend is definitely rising. And Mike, I think we've spoken about this before, though. I think the composition is quite interesting, and it's a reflection on the changing nature of how we live, particularly in the cities, because it's all about multiple dwellings. It's all about townhouses, apartments. If we look at standalone houses, and that's how we traditionally view housing in New Zealand, the consent data was actually down a small amount over the course of the year, although they have bounced back recently. So all the action in multiple dwellings, lots of action in Auckland, Mike. Building consents, residential building consents, hit the highest level in Auckland in 15 years in May. So there's definitely more houses being consented, 1,530 actually, highest monthly total since October 2002. The thing is, Mike, these are consent numbers. You've still actually got to get them built. And this is where the headwinds come in. So this is the rising costs, availability of finance, availability of labour. So how quickly do they get built, if in fact they do get built? And very quickly on employment confidence, also very strong, no surprises here. Labour market is strong. We know that employment confidence at the highest level since 2008. Bit of nervousness over job opportunities during the coming year, though, Mike. So a few little waivers start to appear around the edge there.
All right, and I hadn't thought about it this way, but half a year's gone, two quarters gone. We're done. Six. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, I know you probably don't want to hear that half the year's gone, but it has gone. So it's a quick time to stop and have a look at how the markets have gone. Although personally, Mike, though, I always think you can't do anything about what the numbers, performance numbers were, can you? They're gone. It's all actually about future performance, isn't it? But we do have to do the report card. And before we look at the various markets, one big feature is the weaker New Zealand dollar. I mean, New Zealand dollar over this quarter down almost 7% against the US dollar, and that affects your returns in offshore markets if, in fact, your exposure, you haven't hedged the currency risk. So the NZX, good quarter, Mike, 7.5% gain, very solid. Year-to-date's a little bit lower because we lost about 0.9% in the first quarter, but 6.5% growth on the NZX 50. That does include dividends, which other markets don't. But anyway, pretty good. Look across the Tasman, 7.56 gain in the ASX 200, also pretty good. But remember, the Australians had lost 5% in the first quarter. So on the year, not quite as good as us. But if you look at it in New Zealand dollars, Mike, we also lost ground against the Aussie dollar. If you were invested in the Australian market in the quarter, hadn't covered your currency risk, 10.5% return. Happy days.
happy days.
But US market, Mike, sideways. 0.7% gain in the Dow Jones. They fell in the first quarter. But again, translating to New Zealand dollars, 7.5% gain because of that weak New Zealand dollar. S&P 500, they were a little bit better, 2.9% gain, over 10% New Zealand dollar terms. The UK market, they were up 8.2%. Shanghai down 10%. Just look at quickly other asset classes. Brent crude up 13% over the quarter, Mike, in US dollars. So that's over 20% in New Zealand dollar terms. So that's something we've got to keep an eye on. And gold a little bit lower, 5.5% lower.
Interesting insight. What are the other numbers?
Dow Jones, 24,271, closed up 55 points for the last day of the quarter. S&P 500, 2718, up 2, small change there. NASDAQ, 751, also small change. FTSE 100 gained about 0.3%, 7636. The Nikkei, 22304, they were up 34. Shanghai Composite finally had a bit of good news there, 2847, up 2% on the day. The ASX 200, 6194, down 21. We actually lost ground, down 56, closing at 8943 on the NZX 50. On the currency markets, wholesale, $1 New Zealand dollar, 0.6768 US, 0.9146 Aussie, 0.5795 euro, 0.5131 pounds, 74.95 yen, gold $1,252, Brent crude surging, Mike, $79.23.
And the petrol tax. All right, mate, you have a good one. See you tomorrow. Appreciate it. Andrew Keller, JMI Wealth. He's available to you at jmiwealth.co.nz.